to 20. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labour in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labour, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. There ends the reading. May God bless this reading.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Okay. Right. I'll just let Rob cue up the presentation, actually, first of all. Hey, look, before, whilst he's doing that, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord Father, we thank you for today. I just pray, Lord, that you will bless these words that I share with the congregation here today, Lord, that they'll be pleasing to you in your sight. In your heavenly name we pray, Lord. Amen. Okay, the secret to happiness. Now, to be fair, for those who have been in the church for a while, I've actually given this sermon before, but I've made quite a few changes to it. So I'm going to kick off with a bit of a video. And it's from a movie called The Pursuit of Happiness, which was actually one of the better Will Smith movies, which he did with his son, Jaden. He's done a few doozies, actually, as of late. But this is one which is called The Pursuit of Happiness, which actually tells a story of a true story of a guy by the name of Chris Gardner, who actually was homeless back in the early 80s. And he was down in the dumps, and he realised that the way to happiness for him was actually to get a job. And so we're about to see the final scene in the movie. So, Rob, maestro, kick off. Oh, no, not that one. If you click on the left in the corner of the video, Rob. No. Rob, do you want to just go back to the just go to the original video file?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Mr. Fromm, good to see you.
Nice shirt.
Thank you, sir.
Chris.
Hey, Jay.
Chris. Sit down, please.
I thought I'd wear a shirt today, you know, being the last day and all.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. But wear one tomorrow, though, okay? Because tomorrow's going to be your first day. If you'd like to work here as a broker. Would you like that, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Good. We couldn't be happier. So, welcome. Was it as easy as it looked?
No, sir. No, sir, it wasn't.
Good luck, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, Chris. I almost forgot.
Thank you. This part of my life, this little part, is called happiness.
Actually, we could probably just do the whole sermon by watching the movie, but we won't do that. Now, known for a little while that I've been having to give the sermon, you know, I've been really reflecting on, you know, what does happiness really mean for me? And, you know, when I look at my life, and I'm sure a lot of you all here reflect on this as well, you'll have highs and lows. And, you know, you've got to really ask yourself, are you really happy today? And what does happiness really mean to you? I remember when I first started my first job out of university, and it was a pretty happy moment when I actually scored that first job. But for those who have been working working for quite some time, you may recall that there was a time when you got a computer on your desk, and you realised that that computer is going to change your life. It's going to make everything perfect. You're going to have a lot more time, and with all that time, you'll be able to spend more time with family, you'll be able to socialise, be a lot more productive, and your life will generally be happy. Now, how wrong is that? Never worked that way. And, you know, when you think about happiness, you realise that technology, or even the passing of time, as the world gets more and more modern, actually, people being happier today is not really true at all. You know, in some respects, if you go back, you know, 100 years ago, and you actually talk and hear about a lot of people who lived in, you know, the early 1800s, they might have had less cleaner conditions, or they might have actually not had running water or electricity. But in some respects, they might have even been happier than what we actually are today. And really, when you think about happiness, happiness is not really about things which Glenda actually mentioned today. It's not actually having the latest iPhone. It's not actually having the latest tablet, although these things do actually help, I have to admit. But happiness is not actually about any of those at all. So I want to actually read out to you another passage as well, and that is this one here, which is Psalms 1:1-3. And so I'll just read this out to you now. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Now, when you think about that passage and you think about happiness, we start out by thinking that, you know, happiness could be natural. You know, I think a lot of us realise that when we are young, you know, we think to ourselves, you know, our happiness is all based around getting that job, we'll find true love, we'll start a family, you know, we'll be rich and we'll live and retire and we'll live happily ever after. And then we actually get to that point where we get the job, we find true love, and we experience all the ups and downs of lives, and we actually figure out that it's not always what it's actually cut out to be. So it's not natural. And so when we're younger, we think, you know, if we screw it all up, we won't be happy. But if we actually do all those things, we work hard, we work smart, we earn enough money, that we'll be constantly happy. But unfortunately, even those who have actually achieved that, they do get fairly cynical, and that happiness is not really there from those things which are external to those areas. But happiness is possible. But it's not like what we see in the movies here. Sometimes it actually is a little bit like what you saw in that previous movie, but You know, I've been watching, and I'm sure, you know, a few of you here with the school holidays, there's a lot of Disney movies actually out at the moment, and, you know, one of them is Frozen, you know, and at the end of all these Disney movies, you know, it's always a happy ending, tears are flowing, you know, Michelle gets the tissue box actually out, and, you know, something always good actually happens. And they are the real, you know, happily ever after movies, which we actually tend to watch to make us feel really good. But I do remember when I went to watch I think it was one of the first Chinese Hollywood blockbuster movies, which was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And the thing which people always remember out of that is that everybody died at the end. And it was like, you left the movie theatre thinking, wow, is that really how life actually is? You know, people die. And to me, you know, life is a balance between, at one end, the highs of those Disney movies which get captured and we actually experience, all the way through to, you know, real life happenings where people do die. But, you know, when you think about happiness being natural and then grow to believe that it's actually unachievable, you know, I'd say that it's neither natural nor unachievable, but to be consistently happy, it is actually possible. But if it is actually possible, why do few people actually have it? Now, a number of years ago, it was probably about 8, 9, 10 years ago, there was a lady by the name of Rhonda Byrne, and she wrote the book called The Secret. And that book, I don't know if a few of you here remember it, but it was a book which sold millions of copies, and it was all about how you could be happy, and that happiness was so elusive that in order to actually get it, you should read this book. But what the book actually proposed was that in order to be happy and to be wealthy, all you needed to do was actually think it into your life and you would be happy. Now, the only person who was really, truly happy about that book was actually probably the author, Rhonda, actually, because she actually made a lot of money actually out of it. But there are a lot of people, and I'm not too sure if any of you actually here bought it, but there were a lot of people who got sucked into this whole foolish belief that it had to be secret. It actually had to be something which you could actually read but pay for. Now, I'm going to go through with you a little bit more about 5 steps to happiness, which I'm going to talk about today. And it's not secret, but if you do want to actually pay me later on, or pay one of my favourite charities, and George, if I can grab that $10 off you later, we'll kick off the donations actually in there. You know, but the reality actually is what I'm about to tell you is actually free. It's freely available, it's completely free of charge, but sometimes it may not be as transparent to you actually, because you need to really think through what these points actually are. Now, if we just move to the next slide. Okay. Now, the world sees happiness in a number of different ways. Is happiness found in money? You know, I'm sure a lot of you here, you know, if you won Lotto overnight, and I think the Powerball got up to about $12.5 million, I don't actually know if it got struck or anything actually in there, you know, would that actually make you happy? I'm sure some of you might go, yeah, you know, that would be great, and you'd be happy for a while. Or is it love? You know, I remember when, you know, you have your first kiss, or you've met your lifelong soul partner. She's right there. And, you know, at that point in time, you know, you are happy. Or is it in career or just general success? You know, some of you here who are younger, you know, are about to embark or have just secured your first job. And you know, it's a really good feeling when you actually get that first job, you get that first paycheck, you know, you come home and you go, wow, I don't have to work for pocket money anymore. I've actually got money in my bank. And what am I going to do? I'm going to splurge it all out and go out and buy stuff. And, you know, is that what happiness is all about? The truth of the matter is that people do seek happiness in the wrong areas. And, you know, if you go out and you seek it through money or through love or through other things like that, you might be happy for a short amount of time, but you're not happy for a long time. But the first step to enjoying our everyday lives and the first step to happiness is to really look at what we've been given and actually accept the fact that we've got ordinary lives and that we should just accept the life that we've been given, which is easier said than done. But only you can actually enjoy your own life. Now, that statement might seem pretty obvious, but, you know, when you look around the congregation here, you know, we can't all have, you know, Marty's life or Glenda's life or who else is there in here? Genesis's life. You know, you've got to actually live your own life. You know, and sometimes you go, you know, I wish I looked like Bernie, or I wish I had, you know, Tony's job, or I wish I had that new house. You know, I wish. And, you know, so when we reread the passage which was read earlier by George from Ecclesiastes, and there's the part in there which, you know, is from King Solomon where he talks about accepting your position in life. And I'll just reread part of that now. Well, one thing at least is good. It is for a man to eat well, drink a good glass of wine, accept his position in life, and enjoy his work, whatever his job may be, for however long the Lord may let him live. Now, I want you to notice those words. Now, remember, Solomon was actually a king who actually had it all. You know, he had money, he had multiple wives, he had all the power in the world. And, you know, the world was, and I think a lot of people actually say the world was pretty much at his fingertips. He was probably the richest man, and if you brought it into today's terms, he's probably still would be the richest man on earth today. But what he's saying here is he's communicating, enjoy your life, take your lot in life and enjoy it. In other words, embrace the life, the personality, the strengths and weaknesses, the family, the resources, the opportunities, the physical qualities, the abilities, the gifts and the uniqueness that God has given you. God is asking you to be faithful with your life, not with someone else's. We've all heard in Matthew 25 about the parable of the master who gives three of his servants talents or money. And, you know, with one of the servants, he was very pleased because the first man actually invested it and doubled their portions or tripled their portions of what he actually gave them, whereas the third servant didn't do anything. All the man had to do was embrace what he'd been given, and the master would have said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. He did not hear those words because he did nothing with what he actually had. So what are we going to do with what we have been given? I believe this is a question we all need to ask ourselves quite frequently. So the first step is make the best of what you actually have. God has given us everything he has for a reason and on purpose. Everything about you is for his design. I'm not saying that you need to settle for a situation that needs to be improved, but I'm saying you need to accept that the way God has made you and the life he has given you. Realize that every life includes good and bad, happy and sad, easy and difficult. Your life is really no different than anyone else's when you look at it. From a broad perspective, there may be certain specific differences, but nobody has the perfect life. Take the first steps towards it, enjoy every day of your life by making the most of your life. But how do we do this though? So, step number two, if I can. Embrace the ordinary. You got to make most of life every day. Most of our lives consist of routine. You know, when I think about the last few weeks, as some of you here know, we've just got a dog and we've had it for about a month now, I think. And you know, puppies when they're actually, you know, dogs when they're puppies and they're quite small. You know, the one thing which I've been constantly learning and still learning is that routine is very important, and the right routine. And so every morning now, you know, getting up early, taking the dog for a walk, I can pretty much recite it all just closing my eyes without even looking. Yeah, take the dog for a walk, come back, give it a feed, take it for a toilet stop, pick up the poos, which is always a pleasure, and then actually you know, put it back in its kennel, lock the doors and everything because we're about to go to work, come back, and then do it all over again. And it's monotonous and it's very tiring, but you know, that's all part of everyday life at the moment for me. And most of our lives consist of that routine. You know, it's an unremarkable series of events that take place every day, day after day, year after year. So if we're really going to enjoy every day, we must learn to embrace the ordinary, to delight in the little things, to appreciate small blessings, and to find pleasure in the circumstances and situations that others might overlook. You know, I love looking at old family photos, and, you know, Michelle does a photo album for the family actually every year, and she's done that for like 5 years now, I think. And, you know, when you flip through all the older ones, you look at, you know, the holidays, the birthday events, all the big family celebrations, but half the photos, and I'm sure you'll find this as well, are actually just of, you know, us hanging out or hanging out with friends or of other people in the ordinary parts of life. And actually at those points in time, they do give me a bit of joy. Not only because I did look better when I was actually younger, but, you know, I look back now and I look at them and I go, wow, you know, they were actually quite good times, which we were actually having. And that's what I'm saying about enjoying and embracing those ordinary points in our lives. So enjoying life begins by making a decision to do so. Because the truth is, no matter what kind of life we have, we will not enjoy it until we decide to do so. In Mark 4, 26-27, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground and then continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed sprouts and grows and increases. He knows not how." The scripture tells us that something happens to that seed, a process of growth and nourishment that no one can actually see. Much development takes place while that seed is actually under the ground. And the same principle applies to our own lives. Much of life takes place when no one is actually looking. And God works in our lives during that ordinary time, when nothing remarkable seems to be taking place and everything is business as usual. That's when we develop character and the ability to enjoy everyday life. And as we enjoy life moment by moment, day by day, week after week, and year after year, we find all that life has become rich, deep, and satisfying. True life is really not found in arriving at a destination. It is on the journey. So, point number three, you're free to be happy. And, you know, I go back to that passage which I read at the beginning in Psalms 1. Tim Keller is a pastor at a church in New York called the Redeemer Presbyterian Church, and he talks a lot about happiness and that happiness is actually possible. And when you look at the passage which I just read, it actually started off by saying, "Blessed is." And, you know, when you read your Bible, you find that there are umpteen phrases which actually start, "Blessed is." And what does that actually mean? What does blessed actually mean? And the act of blessing is to really grant happiness, health and prosperity. And so I tell you that God has made it possible for you to be happy. Now, it's a Saturday morning, and, you know, this is a while ago because I haven't been doing this for a while, but, you know, I used to crave my sleep in the morning, but, you know, I felt compelled at times to wake up in the weekend and just to get up and actually go for a bit of a run. And although I'm tired, you know, I'm reminded constantly that at my age, and I'm sure a few of you find this as well, that it's important to keep up that pretense that you're still young and fit. So going out for a run is actually quite a good thing, actually out there for you. But, you know, you get up out of bed, you put your running shoes actually on, and, you know, typically what I would normally do, this is before the dog, by the way, you know, I would actually start running and find that 15, 20 minutes actually into the run, I'd actually be in a place which I'd go, wow, gosh, I didn't even realise I was actually here. But during that time, a lot of things are playing through my mind. You know, all the events of the week, you know, what I've got to do for the week actually after, any problems I've actually got to deal with. And quite regularly, I find that by the time I'm 25 minutes into the run, I'm usually at the top of Mount Wellington, which is not that far away from me. So 20, 25 minutes is actually pretty good for me to get up to the top. And if it's early in the morning enough, there'll be no one actually around, the sun will just be rising, and you look up over the hills and look up towards the sky, and you realise that God has given me an amazing life, and that he's actually truly blessed Auckland and blessed myself and what he's actually given me in this life that I actually have. Many times people rush through their days without stopping to delight in the everyday. And then when they face the crisis, they finally slow down enough to enjoy life, family, friends, work, and simply being alive. Don't let a crisis or an illness be the catalyst that forces you to try and enjoy each day of your life. Your life is God's gift to you, even in its common, run-of-the-mill, mundane ordinariness. Decide today you are going to stop waiting for the big breaks and exciting events before you are happy. Now let's go back again to that verse in Psalms 1. Now it doesn't actually say, blessed is a man who seeks happiness, or blessed is a man who actually makes money, or blessed is a man who actually wins lotto. It actually says, blessed is a man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. In fact, it actually doesn't say anywhere in the Bible at all, blessed is the one who is seeking anything to do with happiness. Now, what does that actually really mean? It means that happiness can never be found directly. Happiness is always and only a byproduct of someone seeking something else more than happiness. The person who is happy is always the one who has stopped trying so hard to be happy. Now, that's quite deep, but hopefully that actually makes sense. Because, you know, if we come into our lives thinking that we're only going to be happy by actually getting that new iPhone, or winning lotto, or finding that special person in our life, or getting a dog even, happiness will never actually come to you. So what should we seek to be happy? Happiness does not come from the things that happen to you. It comes about because it's actually in you. Happiness is fundamental, not superficial. The positive experiences you have by having someone say something nice to you or winning something, they don't actually last. You know, I know, you know, today, you know, we walked into the church today and we all shook someone's hand and someone said, oh, how are you? And, you know, it was a happy, positive experience. And a lot of scientists would actually say that, you know, our brains are wired towards only remembering the negative experiences but forgetting about the positive. And in some respects, they're actually quite right, because those positive experiences don't actually last that long, actually, in there. And so when we think about why we're not happy or why we might be happy, it's not actually because of the positive experiences, because those are only temporary. They don't actually last at all. But happiness is fundamental. It's not superficial. So when people say, I'm going to make this moment last forever, you know, yeah, right, it doesn't actually work that way. Superficial happiness doesn't last. In that passage from Psalms, in verse 3 of that passage, it says, that person who is blessed is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Now, the psalmist makes a comparison of the blessed man to a tree that is subject to the seasons. And, you know, when you listen back to what we sung in worship earlier on today, we sung that desert song. And in that desert song, there's a passage there which says, all of my life in every season, I will bring praise. Now, what happens during the seasons? In the seasons of our life, there are experiences which are good and there are experiences which are bad that happen to us over the many seasons. So how's your life been in the dead of winter? You know, have you experienced trials of actually losing a job, losing a loved one, or being in poor health? And when your life is in spring, how do you feel when you first experience new love, or receive that promotion, or got a pay rise? And what about the season of nothingness, when you feel the realization that others were passing you by and you were actually standing still? And did you notice that that tree is actually planted by the riverbank? And despite drought or the heat in the summer or heavy rain in the winter, its leaves don't wither. Those roots where it's actually planted into something deeper than the elements from the outside. It's actually planted by the river, that continuous stream of water which it's feeding it. So real happiness is found inside of you. We are like that tree planted by the stream. But rather than being dependent on what comes to us from the outside, we should be dependent on what comes to us from the inside. And the real test of that is actually during those bad times in our lives. You know, do we blame God? Do we come to church and do we blame God when we actually lose a job and we say, oh gosh, you know, I've come to church all this time and, you know, I pray to God and even still, you know, I've lost my job or I've lost, you know, a loved one and we end up blaming God. Do we recognize the trials and dig down deep to overcome the pain, to find peace and ultimately happiness, no matter what really actually happens to us? There was once a lady who had to travel extensively for her business, and most of her travel involved flying, and I know a few of you recognize what that's actually like. But flying made her very nervous, and so she always took her Bible to read on long flights because it helped her relax. On one trip, she was sitting next to a man, and when he saw her pull out her Bible, he gave a little chuckle and a smirk and went back to what he was doing. And after a while, he turned to her and asked, "You don't really believe in all that stuff in that book, do you?" And the lady replied, "Of course I do. It's in the Bible." And he said, "Well, what about that guy who was swallowed by the whale?" And she replied, "Oh, Jonah, yeah, I believe in that story. It's actually in the Bible." And he asked, "Well, how do you suppose he survived so long in the belly of that whale?" And the lady said, "Well, I don't really know. I guess I'll have to ask him when I get to heaven." "And what if he isn't in heaven?" the man asked sarcastically. "Then you can ask him," replied the lady. And the story reminds us that we all need a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The relationship is necessary for you to go to heaven when we die and to spend eternity with him. But it is also essential if we want to enjoy our lives today. The Bible teaches us that in God we live and move and have our being. That tells me in order to have real life, we need to be in God, vitally connected to him in an intimate heart-to-heart relationship. So we should begin each day of our lives talking to God, listening to him, and spending time in his word. Start every day with God. Make a habit of meditating on the Bible, reminding yourself of a biblical principle, or simply saying, "Good morning, Lord, I love you." Spend meaningful time in God's presence before you go about the other activities of your life. In Psalms 25:1, we read, "Unto you, O my Lord, do I bring my life." We need to submit everything about our lives to him. Our work, our relationships, our time, our energy, the decisions we need to make, whether or not we use the exact words, we can apply that principle. Bring every aspect of our daily lives to him. This will make an enormous difference in our ability to enjoy our lives today and embrace every day that lies ahead. Step number 5. Now, happiness is something you actually choose. It just doesn't actually happen to you. However, you know, you shouldn't make happiness the priority. But how do we make something else greater the priority? Now, if you try and seek happiness in anything, including God, you'll never truly be happy. And in some respects, you're not even truly worshipping God if you come to God just to be happy. But you need to be seeking what actually is God's truth. And that's really where you need to start. Live your life according to the truth of God's word. Honor God's word in your life. Give it a place of priority every day. Think about it. How often do we say, "I believe in telling the truth, but not if it means I lose out on that deal"? If we put happiness first, you'll never have it. The Bible contains answers to every question you could ever have in every situation you will ever face. True, it will not tell you specifically about where to invest your money or who to actually go out with or what to do tomorrow or the next week. But it will impart to you principles of right living, right thinking, wisdom and faith. God's word is truth, and we know from John 8:32 that the truth sets us free. But God's truth can only be effective for us if we receive it in our hearts and apply it to our everyday circumstances through obedience. Ask yourselves, are we applying God's principles to our own situations? If we want God's word to work in our lives, we need to do more than just read it. Study it, know it, and confess it. We have to do it as it says. I understand this is not always easy, especially when we'd rather stay angry at someone and we see that the word, the Lord's word, you know, we must forgive. When we'd rather spend time just being lazy at home and just watch a movie. You know, we know that the word teaches us to be diligent and obedient, and it's necessary if we want to enjoy God's blessing. In John 13:17, Jesus said, "If you know these things, blessed and happy and to be envied are you if you practice them." So what's happy, higher than happiness? Jesus says it best, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, put God first and the rest will fall into place. Okay, so now you know the secret to happiness. And if you want to pay me later on, feel free to do that. I'm not gonna deny funds coming through. But what now? You know, many people, including me, are extremely goal-orientated. We are focused on tomorrow. We often fail to appreciate and enjoy today because we are always thinking ahead, looking to the next event, and seeing what we can do to check off our to-do list. The intense pursuit of one goal after another can cause us to miss out on some of the happiness that life offers us. God does have plans for each and every one of you. He wants us to enjoy and make the most of every day we live. Now, there's a research company in New Zealand called UMR Research, and every year they do a poll of the nation. And last year they did a happiness survey, and they uncovered that if you are female, you're aged over 75, you're retired, you live in a freehold home, but you don't live in Auckland, and you have an income of more than $75,000 a year with no dependent children at all, which I'd hope you wouldn't at 75, then congratulations, you could well be the happiest person in the country today. So nothing is worth having if we can't enjoy it. No amount of money, no measure of fame, no job, no relationship, no talent or skill. Nothing does any good at all if we do not enjoy our lives. So what about you? When you look around, look to the person on your left or the person on your right. Are you enjoying today? Are you happy? Marty's got no one beside him, so look behind you. Are you happy, content, satisfied with who you are and what you do each day? Do you take time to notice and appreciate the everyday experiences that make life rich and rewarding? Or do you race through each day so you can get to the next one? Do you take breaks and find things to laugh about on a regular basis? Or do you allow the presence of God to fulfill you? Perhaps you desperately want to enjoy everyday life, but fear that actually enjoying something might not be holy or pleasing to God. For some reason, many of us come into believe enjoying our everyday lives is not really okay. You know, we do this by, you know, when we go out with friends and we go, oh, you know, gosh, I shouldn't be happy because I should be home doing something different. And there are trade-offs there. But often we are not even aware we think or feel that way. And somehow we've decided we should not enjoy our lives at all. Instead, we believe we are supposed to be working, accomplishing, following the rules, meeting the deadlines, doing things right, and keeping people happy at any cost. But I have great news for you. God wants you to be happy today and every day. He really does. Jesus' statement in John 10:10 is absolutely true. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. And I come that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. Jesus wants us simply to be alive. No, doesn't want us simply to be alive, but to enjoy being alive. You and I were not created to simply exist, pass the time, mope our way through life, dread each new day, or trudge through our jobs with our eyes on the same time clock, just waiting to leave work and take our misery home. No, we were made to enjoy every day, every aspect of our lives. This is what God wants for us and why Jesus came. He came to impart us true life, the rich, deep, and joyful, filled life God intended for us, the kind that is in abundance. And when you hear about the word abundance to the full, overflowing, fulfilling. And I want to make it clear that we must believe God's will for us to thoroughly enjoy life. You have permission today to enjoy life, permission from God himself. And I challenge you today to go to a new level of enjoyment and happiness in your life. Remember, Jesus died for us, so we could experience authentic and true happiness. Not temporarily, not waiting for the next big win or big highlight in our lives, not once in a while, but all the time. He does not want us simply to have a life. He wants us to enjoy and appreciate the gift of life he has given us. That begins by realizing and believing God really does want us to make the most of every day of our lives and choosing him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are so blessed. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your life in Christ Jesus' name, that we too might have true fulfillment, true happiness in abundance, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that as we go out of this church today, that these words will linger in our hearts and that you will watch over us and remind us of what true happiness is all about. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.